If everyone would take your seat, please. The quarterly meeting, September 22nd, 1991, of Castro Colonies Heritage Association will come to order. We have chairs for you, kind of scattered about at the tables, and there's one or two scattered in here. So make yourself comfortable, and let's enjoy the day. If you'll bow your heads, please, Connie Ream will have the invocation.
Dear Lord, as we gather here today to learn more about our heritage and the people that went before us, we thank you for all those spirits, all those pioneers who are lying in our cemeteries today in this area, and the spirit that they have left with us as we carry on all the culture and the traditions that they left with us. We thank you for this beautiful day and change of season that we have right now, and for all the gathering that we have with this Castro Colonies Heritage Association. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Connie. Well, I want to welcome all of you here today. I see some new faces. Would you hold your hand if this is your first time at Castro Colonies? Well, welcome, and come back. And are you new members, or are you just visiting? If you're just visiting? No? Ah, well, great to have all of you. And we have a special guest back here, too, Greg Bilhart, Captain Greg Bilhart. Greg's saying, just a minute. Greg was our representative in the parade and the salute to the military in June, was it? June, right? And represented Castro Colonies and the float in Hondo. So, Greg, we're so happy you're here today. Greg served in Desert Storm for a long time. We're glad to have you here, Greg. And all of the rest of you, welcome. I'll introduce Dr. Gudajan. Would you stand, please? Dr. Gudajan is leading archaeological digs here in the area. And we also have Mr. Paul Ward and Ann Fox, right, who is also. And Mr. Ward, you might remember, gave our program in March, and he will make an announcement later. As usual, I'd like to have an approval of the minutes as printed. All of you have received your newsletter with the minutes in it. If you have any corrections, please let me know. Otherwise, I would entertain the motion to have the minutes accepted as printed. Anyone? All right. Thank you, Jerome. Is there a second? Irene Cox. Thank you. Also, our treasurer is not here today, so I will give you the treasury report. Joe and Elaine Cook, Elaine is our secretary, they're off in Florida, hopefully not getting wet. But anyway, they're on vacation. So if you'll bear with me, I'll give you the financial report, if I can read it. as of August 31, we had an income of $4,684.53. We had an expense, a lot of that, $6,164, was for book purchases and mailing. That was due to our history book. And that came to $7,198. So our checking account balance is $3,988.69. We have other assets totaling $215.19, with a total assets as of August 31st, $44,203.88. So we're doing, I think, very well. And thanks to Joseph, who keeps us all in line, we have money in the bank. Our corresponding secretary, Billy Bilhart, do you have a report for us? Wonderful. Thank you, Billy. 264 newsletters printed and mailed. Our director's report, membership, Aline Cook.
Okay, as of June 30th, we had 309 members. We now have 334. We have 12 states. We have members in 12 states and some in France. We have one new life member, Leslie F. Toff in Berea, Kentucky. That's
well, I think it's fantastic that unprecedented membership, and so I hope everybody pays their dues again in January. So we'll keep this membership growing. Ways and Means Chairman Dorothy Cease couldn't be here today, but I want you to know we do have history books for sale yet, and we also have our Let's Celebrate, and our newest little goodie that we just got last week, a grocery bag, and I stuffed that to show you how big the bag is. It's good heavy-duty canvas. With our design on it, done by one of our members, my sister, in fact, Glendora Spanish. And we are selling those for $8. And remember now, you're supposed to help the environment, get rid of those plastic bags. So think about this. I carried everything in it today, and my goodness, it holds a lot. So remember that. It makes a nice gift also. Historical Commission, Oliver, do you have a report for us? Where are you, Oliver?
The only report that I can give today is that historical markers used to take over a year to get them approved. Not over 6 months
Great. So historical markers, if you make an application, now it takes 6 months or so to get your approval. Oliver's commission is really an active commission in Medina County, and we all support that. Historical research, Herbert Bilhart. Herbert, would you come forward, please, if you have a report? No report for historical research? All right, thank you. I'd like to report to you the activities of our August 14th board meeting. I know sometimes you wonder what's going on in your club, but we do business. We met, as I said, on August 14th, and we discussed the history book distribution, which went very well. And we are very proud of how it was distributed and mailed. We have some copies left, as I said, and we sent posts, all those who ordered theirs by mail, we enclosed a postcard for our return to know that we got that they received their book. And we've had many, many comments that way of how appreciative they are of the history book and how well done the book is. And if others, we've heard other comments too, not necessarily by mail. So we're quite proud of the fact that we were able to reprint the history book and make a lot of people happy. We also discussed storage, which is getting to be a problem because we have all these nice things now that belong to the group. We do need, and I keep reminding everybody, we do need a good, safe building, a place, at least a storage place. So if any of you know or have a place that you're willing to rent, well, please let us know. We also discussed, we approved this little grocery bag for you. And we also discussed community involvement, what we might do to help in the Medina County community. We also heard a report of the nominating committee. And Charles Thies was chairman but couldn't be here today. So if our member, Herbert Bilharts, would come forward and give us a report of the nominating committee, please. This happens to be the time of the year that we do nominate our officers for the next year. So, Herbert?
Thank you, Madam President. And the nominating committee, which consisted of Chairman Charlie Sears, Member Lucy Davis, and myself, met on the 5th of August at the home of Lucy Davis in Hondo. And we offer for your consideration the following slate of officers. And if nominees, if you are here, we would ask you to please stand as I call the names. For President, Ellis Burgess. For Vice President, Connie Reen. For Corresponding Secretary, Shirley Chair Click. For Recording Secretary, Kathleen Johnson Finger. And for Treasurer, we are nominating for re-election Joe Cook. And I know he is not here today. So, Madam President, we thank you very much. We are happy to recommend to you this slate of officers, and we feel that it's an outstanding group of persons who have kindly agreed to serve this organization here for the next 2 years, if elected.
Thank you, Herbert. I appreciate the nominating committee's work, but I am required to ask, are there any nominations from the floor? All right. If not, do I hear a motion to accept the report of the nominating committee as presented? Approved by acclamation. Right. Thank you. Misty, do I hear a second? Lucy? All right. Thank you. Approved by Lucy Davis. So, your new officers are Ellis Burgess. Congratulations, Ellis. Thank you very much. And Connie Reen, Vice President, Corresponding Secretary, Shirley, Sarah Click, Shirley Click, we'll get it, Recording Secretary, Kathleen Finger, and Treasurer, who is off in Disneyland, Joe Cook. So they're having a good time. Well, we're quite proud of them. Is there any old business? No? Anybody with any new ideas, any new business? All right. Well, I'd like to ask Mr. Paul Ward. Mr. Ward had asked if he could come to the meeting today and issue an invitation to you. So, Mr. Ward, would you come forward?
I thank you for your kind reception. The last time I spoke to you, I had some hair the last time I spoke to you, so you're
welcome. You want to come in?
Oh, thank you. As I mentioned to you at our
meeting before, I mentioned that we would be conducting an archaeological investigation in the area at this time of the year, and that is ongoing at the present time. It is sponsored by the Southern Texas Archaeological Association and the Institute of Texan Cultures. Dr. Tom Guterjohn with the Institute is the Institute's archaeologist. He is our principal investigator. Ann Fox is at the University of Texas, San Antonio, in their Center for Archaeological Research. Ann has been prominent in the historical investigations in South Texas and in San Antonio at the missions, the Alamo, and throughout South Texas. And she is working with a group of people here in the area doing historical research on some of the houses and some of the areas. And that's two parts of our program. We have a laboratory process that's going on that is processing and classifying the artifacts that are being found. And then we have a survey group that are visiting ranches in the area looking for other occupational sites by the Indians that I talked to you about the last time I was before you. The invitation I want to extend to you is a participation invitation. If you wish to participate, we'll be there for the rest of this coming week and the coming weekend. And you may come and enroll in our program. The costs are nominal, and membership is required in a very nominal manner because of certain obligations that we have. I also extend to you an invitation to visit our site, to come visit, and we will be glad to show you what we're doing, explain what we're about actually on the ground. And that's the second, third invitation is that next Saturday, in your regional park here, we're having the Southern Texas Archaeological Association's annual barbecue, and we invite you to that. We give us a little bit prior notice. If you are coming, you can come by the site, which I'll describe to you in a minute how to get to it, and let us know that you will come to the barbecue. At that barbecue, which is a $6 barbecue and that type of thing, but at that evening, while the meal is being served or while you're eating, we will have a synopsis of what has happened during during the week that we have been there, and a report by each one of the principal investigators. I invite you to visit or to participate as you wish. Now, to find the area, you come out the Quihi Road, not the old Quihi Road, the Quihi Road that comes off at three points up here near the Alsatian Inn, go 1.2 miles, and there'll be a sign on the right-hand side of the road that says STAA/ITC Field School. If those of you are familiar with that road, it's the entrance that has white rail into it, and there's some black cemetery gates that usually those would be open. That's where the program is being carried on. Drive in there, park, and there's a little house back up in there, and you'll see us back in there, and that's where the headquarters are. So again, you're welcome to come visit, to participate. We'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ward. I hope that some of you will find the time and have the interest to go, because I think this is as Dr. Guterjohn, I'm quoting what I saw in the newspaper, this is a very important and significant thing, find for Medina County. So, Dr. Guterjohn, would you have something you'd like to add to this? Yeah, come forward.
It looks good to you. Okay, go come on out. We can make you dirty. I guess I'll tell you just a second or two about what we're doing and why we're doing it out there. The archaeological project is a kind of a larger one than what we're just doing this week. What we're interested in is how people lived in this area long before castor colonies existed. And if we were to dig in Castroville and dig in the church and the city hall and somebody's house and this building and so forth, if you dug enough of those kinds of things, you get a pretty good idea of what Castroville was like. The problem is with the Indians is they moved on us, and they didn't have the decency to stay in one place very long. So it's a little more difficult, but they kept living in the same places over and over. So what we are trying to do is look at enough of these places over a long enough period of time to get a good idea of what these people were doing. Were they living, and in this case it looks like they were locating a place to live near where there was stone to make tools and other things, near water overlooking the floodplains so they could get to resources above and below and that sort of thing. And what's interesting is they did this sporadically, no doubt, but over a long period of time. We already know that we have occupation at that site from probably about 6,000 years ago to as recently as 1,000 years ago or more recently. And that's just the site. The other things we're doing are surveying properties in the area, looking for other Indian sites, and also documenting historic houses as well. The survey process gives us the opportunity to find new places, new old places, that ancient people lived, ancient Indians lived, so we can kind of add to what we know and see and understand. You know, as I said, you could dig here in the church and so forth. Well, we may have some of the residences there. We may need to dig in some other places to get a full picture of what the Indians were doing and how they were living and how that changed as the years went on. So the one thing I'd like to tell you is that if you would like us to take a look at your property or your house or something like that, we'd be very glad to. We'd be happy to. I can't guarantee you that we can do it in this week period because we only have so many people and we have a lot of things to do. But we can certainly add it to our list for future work, and we'd very much like to do that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gutajohn. I think it's very exciting for this area to have this going on and be anxious to know what the find is. And I know some of you probably have property that you would like to maybe ask them about later. Well, today is a very special program, and we have Bertha Bowen who will introduce our program. And Bertha?
Hello. We have for our speaker today none other than our own member, Oliver Reinhardt. And I'd like to tell you that Oliver was a charter member. He was the first vice president of CCHA. He later became president. And he was the chairman of the committee who for the history book. So he has worked with us from the beginning until now, and so he knows everything about CCHA. You want to ask him those questions. I'd like to tell you, those of you who do not know Oliver, in case there is someone here, he is a native of Dehennis, and he went to school at St. Anthony's School, I believe elementary school, and graduated from Dehennis High School. Later, he graduated from A&M. He served in World War II. Under General Patton's group in division in where the bulge was overseas for what, 18 months, Oliver, is that right? And then after that, when he came home, he worked as a county agent until his retirement in 1977, Oliver, if I have that right. Sue, where's Oliver? Is that right? 1977, and he lives in Dehennis. We're happy to have him in Dehennis because he's a big asset for the town, and he is also he is head of the Historical Society here in Medina County. He, as you know, of last month, or was it May, that he helped get that wonderful monument at our cemetery in Dehennis. So he has a special interest, he says, in cemeteries, so he is the right person today to have to speak on cemeteries. Now, he has a little slideshow and a presentation ready for you. So, Oliver, would you please come forward?
so I can see you. That's the reason I lowered that screen. I want to see y'all, look y'all in the eye. When you speak on cemeteries, I could take 2 days here and still not complete all the information. But we don't have but about 30 minutes, and I'm not going to take over 30 minutes and give you some information on the cemeteries here in Medina County. Before, and I have some slides I do want to show you. Number one, which town, and I ought to give you a test, which town in Medina County does not have a cemetery? And Lucy, don't you answer it, because I've already told you who it was. Does anybody know which town in Medina County does not have a cemetery? Natalia. Natalia does not have a cemetery. And which town has the most cemeteries? Somebody said Castroville. They're wrong. Hondo. Hondo has 7 cemeteries. Believe it or not. Now, a lot of this information that I'm going to give you today came from the Honorable Jim Minky. He did a lot of research on cemeteries here in Medina County. And by the last 3 weeks or so, my wife and I and several of us have traveled over the county and have gone to all the cemeteries except the private cemeteries. We've gone to several of them. But anyway, I'm going to give you some information on how many cemeteries there are in the county. There are 22 cemeteries in Medina County. And there's 26 private cemeteries. Now, we think there are more than 26. Matter of fact, today, on one of a talk with Connie, and she just told me there on the Francisco Parish over there, let's see, there's a burial ground in the Noonan Pearson community area where a good number of settlers were buried, but since that time the land has been cleared and everybody gone. But Connie tells me she found 3 graves over there. So we'll put that back in on the map. Now, I'm going to go down the list here, and when we get to the slides, I'm going to have to apologize for those slides for 2 reasons. I'll get ready to put them in the case this morning. When I did, they all fell out. I'll put them back in the slot, so some of them might be upside down, and Queehee might be at Hondo, and Castroville, you might be at DeHennis, but anyway, I think I can identify them and tell you where they are. But here in Castroville, there are 3 cemeteries, as you know. St. Louis, Lutheran, and the city. There are 3 cemeteries in the county that have perpetual care. St. Louis, Hondo, and DeHennis. And Divine. I'm sorry, 4. Divine has perpetual care. Those are the 4 cemeteries that now have perpetual care in the county. La Crosse has only 1 cemetery. Of course, there's 1 at New Fountain, at the Methodist Church, and then you go down on Verde Creek right off the Bandera Road. There you've got the St. John's Lutheran Cemetery, and the New Fountain Methodist Church was right on the highway. And at Queehee, of course, you've got the old and new Lutheran. Now, at private cemeteries here in the Castroville area, you've got the Incan, the DeMontel, the Hass, and the Wurzbach. Now, the Medina County Historical Commission is trying to get up, or is getting up, a book on all the cemeteries in Medina County, with all people that are buried in these cemeteries. We've got most of the information on the big cemeteries, but we do not have it on these private cemeteries. We've got it on some, and some of them have just flat refused to give us information. Some of them said they don't know who's buried there, which we know they probably don't. But anyway, we're still hoping to get these private cemeteries. But we've got now, we've got Dehennis, all of Dehennis. We've got New Fountain. We've got Quihe. We've got Hondo. We've got Divine. St. Joseph there, Divine, and Evergreen. And Castro, we've got all of those. But these private cemeteries. Now, over at around Quihe, there's the Schwerers and the Brooks Cemetery, private. And of course, if you've gone, you've seen the Masonic Cemetery, that's that cemetery going off of the Quihe Road to Highway 90. And that's the old Masonic Cemetery. And it has a historical marker. There's four of these cemeteries, or five, have historical, state historical markers. Here at St. Louis, one at Quihe, one at New Fountain, and Evergreen, at Divine, and St. Dominic's of Dehennis has historical markers. There's another one. It's part, the north part of the cemetery is in Medina County, but the southern part, actually the cemetery, is in Frio County. And that's Tewakini. That's below Yancey. Those that have been down there know where that cemetery is. And in a lot of these cemeteries, there are lots of history in it. In the Tewakini Cemetery, the gentleman that was standing next to Ben Malam when he was shot, is buried in that cemetery. And in one of the old Hondo cemetery, the old Hondo Cemetery, and incidentally, a marker will be is being worked on that one right now, and that's Lon Moore, who was supposed to be the greatest Indian fighter in Medina County, is buried in that cemetery. That's the old cemetery at Hondo. And, of course, then you've got the Richards Cemetery north of Dehennis, which is a private cemetery, and Captain Richards is buried there. Some of these, I've got Lon's grave on here, and I got Captain Richards' grave. And those of you that have bought the book, you know, Indian Fighters of Texas, I think there's about three or four individuals in there that are buried here in Medina County, and I have all their graves. That I'll show you in a minute. On the Verde Creek in the Vandenberg area, believe it or not, there are several private cemeteries. There's supposed to be the Britch, the Mumy, and the Decker. In the southeast of Hondo, the Graff Cemetery, and then the Heath Cemetery is near Elstone. North of Hondo is the Lina River, and the Musselman is west of Beery. And I'm going to show you a picture in a minute of how some of these private cemeteries are being kept. You can't even see the tombstones. And it's pitiful. Some of them, they're gone. All right, at Dehennis we have Holy Cross 1 and 2, W.O.W., St. Francis, and St. Dominic's. And then in private cemeteries around Dehennis, we have the Shane, the Wernette Winan, the Rhodey, the Richards, and the Cortez. And believe it or not, in the very northwest part of Medina County is the Miller Cemetery. It's right actually on the Bandera and Medina County line. Is the Miller Cemetery. Yancey has one cemetery. Of course, and between Yancey and Dehennis is the Butts Stiles. And I also found out there's an unnamed cemetery near the Butts. Now, I don't know what the name of that one is. Of course, at Divine, we've got St. Joseph's and Evergreen. And then we have private cemeteries around the Divine, the Black Creek area. That's the Howard Cemetery, the Robertson, and the Tomerlin. Now, throughout the county, there are a number of single graves of individuals buried, and some of them were marked, and some of them were not. And there are at least four abandoned or lost cemeteries in the county. And since we found maybe this one, we'll just say maybe there's only three. And of course, years ago, when the Army moved or abandoned Fort Lincoln, all the soldiers that were buried there were taken and buried at Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio. And here in Castroville, when the lady, all the nuns that were buried here are moved to Our Lady of the Lake Perpetual Care there in San Antonio, those have been removed. Now, I'm going to go through these slides real hurriedly. I might give you time to ask one or two questions. I probably won't be able to answer them. But anyway, I want to show you these slides because I've got all the major cemeteries in here, and I've got a bunch of private cemeteries, and some of the private cemeteries, I don't think I'll even tell you who they are. But anyway, you can see who the private cemeteries, what they look like. There's one cemetery northwest of Dehennis. It's the Richard Cemetery. And I think there's maybe one or two here that are kin to that air place. But you can go up there anytime you want to, and that cemetery is in A1 shape. Just exactly. It's mowed. There's a flag flying. And that's where Captain Richards is buried. It's called the Richards Graveyard, I believe. That's what they... And it's right on the banks of the Saco River. It's right north of Dehennis. That's the only private cemetery that I've seen. Well, I'll take it back. The Shane Cemetery. But they're on perpetual care with Holy Cross. They have now joined the Holy Cross. And they're on perpetual care. But now the Winan and the Wernette, which is, you see, in Dehennis, we have the Holy Cross one, and then we have the Shane and the Wernette and the Winan separate that and Holy Cross two. And then there's the Woodman of the World and then St. Francis. And the Wernette and the Winan, sometimes it's kept up and sometimes it isn't, but it needs repair. I'll go through these slides rather hurriedly. I've got about 35 or 40, and try to pinpoint where they are, and if they're upside down, just don't look at them. This is a private cemetery between Dehennis and Yancey, and of course I might as well tell you who it is. This is the Butt Cemetery, and I think most of those people are all gone. And it's a shame because that's the way that cemetery is looking. This is another picture of them. And there it is again. And that's the way it looks from the road. You can't even see, huh? Y'all can't see? Okay, now can y'all see? All right, here we go. This, most of these slides didn't turn out too hot, but this is taken off of Captain Richard's grave there, north of Dehennis. Tells you where he was born in Germany and gives you a little history of it right there. I was hoping you could read it, but I don't believe you can. This is taken from the private cemetery, from the Rhodey Cemetery north of Dehennis. and that there is the grandpa, the original Rody that came over, right? Isn't that the one he came over, the original? Yeah. Okay. All right, the reason, and here is his son that's buried there, Louis Rody. And that's the Rody Cemetery. This was the first person buried in Holy Cross Cemetery after St. Dominic was closed. And this was a fawn. This is taken from St. Francis. The only reason I took that, and it didn't turn out good, I didn't have my camera focused in, but this is just solid flowers on that grave. Yeah. Now this here is this was my great grandfather. He's buried at the Woodman of the World there, and he's listed in that book of souls book. This is Saint Dominic's, and that's the first child that was buried in St. Dominic. She was a Rudinger on May the 25th, 1845, 47, I believe. And the reason I took this tombstone, and it didn't show up like I wanted to, at the bottom of that is the person that made that tombstone, and he was a Rudinger. And I understand he did most of those tombstones there at St. Dominic's. But he did sign this, and this is one that he signed. And this is, of course, Hoffman there at St. Dominic's. He was the first sheriff of Bandera County, killed by Indians. And this here is Henry Rody, one of the four Rody boys at Hondo. He's buried at Hondo. And now this is a... They have their Armenian plot like that. Oh, this is at Hondo. That didn't turn out like I wanted it to, but that is a private cemetery. It's not a private cemetery. It's a little community cemetery about 15 miles from College Station. And it has perpetual care. And you should see it. It's well landscaped. It has they have their water, city water on that thing, and they have perpetual care. And that thing is green 12 months out of the year. They have ryegrass in the wintertime, but I took this picture here. This is a little rock girl that buried there at Hondo, that light. Had to have a light there by a grave. This here is, anybody know where that's buried? Yeah. That's at Queehee. And that is not in the cemetery. That's on the street in cemetery. And if you look real close, you can't see it now, but there's four or three, I think there's four initials on that tombstone. They wouldn't bury him in the Lutheran cemetery because they said wasn't fit to be buried in there. Okay, and those four initials on there are the four people that killed him. So that's on, and that's, it's actually on the street there at Queehee. It's not in the cemetery. That's Queehee, Lutheran Cemetery at Queehee. That's just one of the graves there at Queehee. I took that with the ornate ironwork. This here is a new fountain. This is Tewaukee Cemetery. See, it's out of order. But this should have been way back down the line. But that's the historical marker at Tewaukee. And several of those graves have the Texas or the people that are buried there were in the Civil War. And they've got quite a, I bet they have about 30 or 40 people buried in that cemetery. Actually, the cemetery is in Frio County, but the north line is Medina County. That's part of the Tewakinda Cemetery. It was in terrible shape. It needed some. Let me get back again. When you go from Yancey to Moore, on your right, you'll see a sign on the highway that says Tewakinda Cemetery, and it's right down that road about 4 or 5 miles. And that's, there's a lot of rich history of people that are buried in that cemetery. This is the Castroville. I don't know what that needed. That needed. This is Divine. This is Evergreen. Believe it or not, they have streets. The reason I took that picture, they've got street names in their cemetery. That's the only one I found in Medina County that had the names of streets. This here is Evergreen historical marker. There it is. That's the entrance. And right there is St. Joseph Cemetery next to Evergreen and Divine. This one I don't know. Where? Lacoste is right. That's the Lacoste Cemetery. They have no grass. That's the only cemetery in Medina County that has no grass growing. They keep it just as clean, I guess, to keep it sprayed. But there's no grass growing there at Lacoste. Huh? I don't know. It might have perpetual care then. I don't know. This is St. Louis Cemetery here in Castroville. And of course, you know who's buried in St. Louis. That's the wife of Henry Castro. That Amelia Castro. And that marker, incidentally, was put up by the Castro colony. That's one of the first things we've done that's known. There's part of the tombstone, but you can't read it. That's St. Dominic's. Can't read that either. That's Castroville Community Cemetery. And that is the Lutheran Cemetery here at Castroville. This is the New Fountain Cemetery. I don't know who that is. This is... It's upside down. But if you look real close, that is Lon Moore. The Indian fighter, the big, greatest Indian fighter in Medina County, and he's buried there in the old cemetery at Hondo, and of course, somebody's knocked his tombstone off. It's all, and I'll show you some more now. There's another one. That's the old cemetery at Hondo. Where is it? It's going off when you, the first red light on this side of Hondo, you take a right, and you go up to the, like you're going to the cemetery, and it's on your left, on that road, right on that road. And I understand now the city has taken that over and with perpetual care. Anyway, it was mowed, everything, but there's quite a few of these tombstones are are on the ground. Either vandals or something happened to it. This here is at New Fountain? No, Rohde. I'll tell you who that is. That's August Rohde, because he is in the in the Indian Fighters. Yeah, that's his grave there. I took that picture. This one here, I don't know. That could be upside down, too. There is that cemetery I was telling you about 15 miles from College Station, that has perpetual care. And it's A1 shape. This is the Masonic Cemetery. That's the one that, from Queehee to Highway 173 on your left, is the Masonic Cemetery. And several, the old Masons that were killed by the Indians are buried there.